Welcome to the Lean Smarts Podcast. Fun and simple tips and tools for creating lean cultures everywhere.
Welcome back to the Lean Smarts Podcast. This show is all about making lean education fun and effective, because anything less than that is wasteful. I am Daniel Crawford, and my journey with lean started when I had just finished college and my CEO at the time turned to me and said, "Daniel, go find out what lean manufacturing is and then teach everyone in the company." That was a freaking amazing challenge, and I've been learning and loving lean ever since. But talk about a baptism by fire. I didn't know what lean was. And if you haven't already tried to piece it together from the internet and books or YouTube, well, just let me tell you, it's hard to decode it and figure it out. And secondly, after all the time I spent trying to figure out lean, then it took me weeks and months longer to create training materials for the rest of the organization. Well, fast forward a bunch of years and I am still teaching lean today, but now I have a perfect off-the-shelf solution for you and your entire organization. It's called my Fundamentals of Lean course. I massively recommend it. Just head on over to leansmarts.com/fundamentals to learn more and start a free trial. Today, we're going to be learning about the basics of Lean 5S. You can get the show notes, including a transcript and additional resources, at leansmarts.com/010 for episode 10. 5S is a very popular Lean tool that gets a lot of attention. So today, I'm going to give it an overview. Today, I'm going to cover what 5S is, the origins of 5S, each 5S discipline in detail, variations of 5S including 3S and 6S, and recommendations for implementing 5S. So, let's get started. Defining 5S, what it's all about. 5S is a productivity tool that is used to increase workplace efficiency and make abnormalities visible. That's what it's all about, efficiency and abnormality control. On the surface, 5S looks like an organization and cleanliness program. But it's not just organization and cleanliness for the sake of being orderly and clean. You see, you could have your garage all organized with 20 years worth of tools, junk, tax returns, and toys, and it could even be very clean. But if it stands in the way between you and your car, well, you've missed something. And by the way, the majority of that 20 years of clutter is probably just garbage. Don't organize your junk and 5 redundant sets of crescent wrenches. Just get it out. That's a better way to start. So although on the surface 5S looks like order and cleanliness, it's actually about efficiency and abnormality control. When things are disordered and messy, you work less efficiently, and it's also harder to see problems. For example, if your garage floor has 20 years of oil stains, it's going to be harder to detect when your car is leaking oil. One of the purposes of cleanliness is to help with abnormality control and to identify problems like these. So the two primary benefits to 5S are better productivity and better quality as you increase efficiency and control abnormalities by making them visible. Let's talk about the history and origins of 5S. There are 5 disciplines all starting with S. Sort, straighten, sweep, standardize, and sustain. This is how it gets its name of 5S. The 5 words are originally translated from the Japanese words of Seri, Seiton, Seiketsu, and Shitsuke. Hopefully I said that right, because I don't speak Japanese. I speak some Spanish, but not Japanese. However, it's very likely that Toyota was influenced by Henry Ford's Can-Do program, which stands for cleaning up, arranging, neatness, discipline, and ongoing improvement. In any case, 5S is the form that we know this tool today. Now let's overview each of the 5S disciplines. It's important to note here that Western lean practitioners tend to view these disciplines as progressive steps. However, Toyota views the disciplines more as interrelated practices than five discrete steps. Maybe that's because of our bias for projects and just having a five-step project for a 5S program. But it's much more interrelated than that. They're really all connected to each other. So let's talk about SORT. The first 5S discipline is SORT. In a sentence, SORT means to get rid of stuff that you don't use routinely. It is essential to do because it's commonplace for clutter, tools, and leftover items to accumulate on the shop floor. It just happens because waste is like gravity, and just like the law of entropy, our work environments move from order to disorder unless we do something about it. I once was the general manager of a new business acquisition with 30 years of history. Now, 30 years of history is remarkable, but it also came with 30 years of junk. We did some extensive sort to gut out all the clutter, and you wouldn't believe the things we found. Broken radios, a remote control car, old prototype inventions, outdated inventory, and all kinds of stuff. However, sorting is much more than spring cleaning. It's supposed to be a daily way of life. Indeed, if this company had practiced sort on a daily basis for 30 years, I'm certain there'd be no remote control car lost in the building. But in my opinion, sort is more about what remains after sorting than what is taken away. We're not just removing things that don't belong, we're deciding what things are truly needed. And to be even more specific, we're making design decisions about the workplace. You see, everything in Lean is scientific and it follows a plan, even with 5S. So when we are removing things from the workplace, we are in effect keeping the things we've decided to keep by design. If I have a toolbox with a bunch of cluttered, old, and somewhat redundant tools, I'm not just going to start removing things willy-nilly. I'm going to make a decision first about what tools I require in my toolbox for the work that I'm performing. Everything else is useless to me in that toolbox, so then I remove it. So in my opinion, when you sort, both of these perspectives are useful. You're taking away stuff, but only after you decide what stays. And the only things that stay are the things that create value. If it doesn't create value, get it out. Straighten. Now let's talk about straighten. So when I say straighten, other people might call it set in order. They both describe the same thing. Straighten has to do with the efficient layout of tools, materials, and information in the workplace. It's wonderful if you have sorted out all the junk and unneeded items that don't belong. But that's not to say that the value-adding items remaining are laid out in the best configuration possible. So when we straighten or set in order, we design a specific and unique place for every item. The lean saying is, a place for everything and everything in its place. The placement of every item should be three things: easy to access, visually apparent, and prioritized by frequency of use. It should be easy to access because this eliminates the waste of motion. There's no point in struggling to reach or access a tool or material. It costs time and creates added delay. It interrupts the flow of the work being performed. Remember that I said 5S is about workplace efficiency? Well, this is one way that efficiency is achieved. The placement should also be visually apparent. This is why you might see shadow boards, tool foam, labels, color codes, and other visual information used to identify the placement of every tool. If the location of every tool is obvious and clear, including when the tool is present or absent, it makes abnormality control that much easier. Lastly, the placement should be prioritized by frequency of use. If you use some tools more frequently than others, they should be closer to the point of use. Put it in the top drawer. Or put it in tool foam on top of the cabinet so you don't even have to open the drawer. The point is to get the needed tools at the team members' fingertips, and that should be prioritized based on frequency. Now let's talk about the third S, shine. Shine has to do with cleaning, and some people also call it sweep. However, shining doesn't clean for the sake of making things pretty. It cleans for the sake of finding problems and abnormalities. Team members are required to shine their work area every day as a part of their normal responsibilities. When they do this, they are supposed to observe issues like frayed cords, spilled materials, leaking machines, rust on equipment, wear on tools, and anything else of that sort. These discoveries are diamonds in hiding. Most people would just clean up the mess and move on. But that's the wrong action to take, because these little messes are indicators of problems in the equipment or process. Why is that machine leaking fluids? How is that cord frayed? Or why is tool wear occurring, and what is its effect on the product? If you just clean things up and make it look pretty, two things will happen. First, you'll destroy the evidence of a true problem. And secondly, that problem will get worse over time until one day you have a breakdown, quality issue, or some other crisis. So the intent behind shine is to discover and expose the symptoms of these problems, and then trigger action to solve the root causes. Obviously, we're talking about abnormality control when it comes to shine, but it can also affect efficiency. If an operator takes 5 minutes every day to clean up shavings or mess, he or she might ask, how is this material getting on the floor in the first place? And discover the root cause. If that root cause is eliminated, those 5 minutes can be spared or reduced. This decreases the amount of time spent performing non-value-added work and can improve workplace efficiency. Okay, now moving on to the fourth S, standardize. Standardize can have two different meanings. The most common meaning in the West is that standardize has to do with standardizing and systematizing the first three S's. This means that if one work cell has a certain layout of tools and method of shining, that all other similar work cells must also be sorted, straightened, and shined in the same way. They have the same tool placement, same identifying labels and colors, and are maintained and cleaned to the same standard. This is what many people will tell you about 5S standardize. In fact, I've stated it as so in other resources at Lead Smarts. There's a second meaning, though, to standardize, but hold on to that for a moment and let me first explain the fifth S, sustain. You'll understand when I tie this all together. Sustain to many lean practitioners in the West has to do with maintaining and enforcing discipline with the previous four S's. This commonly comes in the form of daily checklists and 5S audits performed by management. And typically, you'd see leader standard work here to help carry it all out. But standardize and sustain are different in Japanese. So now we're going to look at some differing understandings of these practices. The Japanese word for standardize is seiketsu, and it does not mean standardize. In fact, it means cleanliness. The lean expert Mitchell Bowden says, it is the reduction of the first three S's to daily practice by management enforcement through things like checklists, assignment of responsibility for daily housekeeping activities, and routine audits. Now, based on what I've already told you, you're probably thinking, hey, that sounds like sustain. And you're right. It basically is what many companies outside Toyota call sustain in the West. So then, what is the equivalent to sustain at Toyota? Well, the Japanese word is shitsuke, and it means upbringing. Bowden again defines this nicely and says, it is not an action, but the condition you reach when the performance of the first three S's has become second nature to the organization. And this is what he says is the difference between the two. As long as you tell your kid to brush his teeth every day, you are practicing seiketsu. Once he does it without prompting, then you have achieved shitsuke. I think this is important to understand, even while the common English translations of 5S are somewhat different for standardize and sustain. The point is to reach a place where the disciplines have become so second nature that they happen automatically and without prompting. The ideal is for team members to become so responsible and autonomous that they don't even require checklists or management enforcement to sustain 5S. It just happens. Now that we've defined the five practices of 5S, let's broaden our scope a little bit and take a moment to discuss innovations on the tool, including 3S and 6S, mainly because I don't want you to be confused by these other S's out there. These variations occur for different reasons. Sometimes it's due to the belief system of the organization using the tool. They just believe in it. At other times, I think it's because of branding purposes. If a consultant or influencer is doing something other than 5S and say it's different or better, that might give them a more compelling argument for the tool that they use. So let's first look at 3S. I first encountered the use of 3S in Paul Aker's book, 2-Second Lean. His company FastCap and many others practicing the 2-Second Lean model follow this example of 3S. However, Paul says he learns 3S from the company Hawks in Japan, and he loves it because of its simplicity. There's not five things to keep in mind, just three. However, the three components are not the first three in the 5S list. Don't miss that detail because I had it confused for a while at the start. Paul's three S's are sort, shine, and standardize. He skips the straighten and the sustain. I want to comment more on this, but I'll save it for a separate cast. However, the short summary is this. Straighten and sustain still happens at these 2-second lean companies, at least from what I've observed. And for that reason, I'd prefer to call them the two silent S's. Now let's talk about 6S. 6S includes all five disciplines from 5S, but adds one more for safety. Now, who could disagree with safety being important? Of course safety is important, and 5S easily creates a safer work environment. My personal opinion, though, is that safety is assumed in the five disciplines of 5S, and I don't see the value to adding one more component. If you do all 5S's extremely well, safety is taken care of. You don't need to add it to the mix. Now, before we finish, let's talk about how to implement 5S. I have a few recommendations, but first let me remind you of episode 7 titled Lean Thinking is Scientific Thinking. You need to know why you're doing 5S and what problem you're trying to solve with it before you start implementing. Be smart and scientific. Don't do it because everyone else is doing it. For this reason, I don't recommend that you assume you need to start with 5S. Lots of people and even consultants will tell you that. But why? Is 5S truly the answer to your greatest needs at your organization? If so, go for it. I fully support you. I just can't support starting with 5S because someone told you it's the first step with Lean. One thing you might do when implementing 5S is to start with a pilot area. If you've never done it before, or even if you have done 5S and unsuccessfully, it's smart to focus your efforts onto a smaller area. Don't boil the ocean, as some people say. This is also smart because you are going to learn a lot from your first 5S implementation experiment. You'll encounter resistance, you'll encounter questions, and you'll encounter problems. Now, do you want to deal with all that among 100 or 1,000 people all at once? Or do you prefer to do it with 20 and learn a bunch so that it's easier and less painful when rolling it out to the masses? A pilot area also serves as proof of concept. Haters gonna hate, but if you can prove that it works in one area, that resistance will hold less credibility in others. I mentioned 2-Second Lean in this episode, and so I'll connect the dots here and tell you that in Paul's model, the pilot area is the lean bathroom. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, when you look up 2-Second Lean, you'll understand. Here's another idea. So another strategy you might employ is to use 5S as a finishing touch to other lean projects. This is smart to do because traditional processes don't support lean tools and methods very well. Adding 5S onto batch and queue manufacturing with firefighters and crisis management doesn't survive very well. But if you first create a lean process and transform a work area into something better, like a flexible work cell or a line employing flow and production matched attack time, then it becomes easier to design 5S into that lean transformation. Remember that it's always easier to design for lean than to correct bad habits that are formed over years of doing it the old way. If you're converting your organization with lean methods, you can just add 5S as you go. Lastly, don't underestimate the role of lean management. It is different than traditional management, and for this reason, I highly recommend David Mann's book, Creating a Lean Culture. It's not necessarily about 5S, but I believe it is closely related. If you're going to apply and use 5S, you've got to have the supporting structure of a lean management system. In fact, this may be my own paraphrase, but Mann basically teaches that technical transformation has to precede cultural transformation, and that's a very interesting point in his book. Okay, well, that covers it for today's episode on 5S, but if you want to go deeper or learn 5S in video form, I've got an awesome and free course at Lean Smarts that teaches 5S from everyday examples in my kitchen, actually. And it's fun and funny. And so I highly recommend that you go check it out and sign up. It's totally free. In fact, there's even some organizations that are using it as a part of their training program within their organization. Because, come on, lean should be fun. And this is a way to do that. If you're ready to take lean education to the next level, it's time to check out leansmarts.com. Learn world-class lean practices and make lean fun again and save countless hours creating or locating equivalent materials. We've got what you need to take your organization to the next level. With videos, articles, a podcast, and courses, find what you need for a DIY, do-it-yourself lean implementation. And don't miss our newest course, The Fundamentals of Lean, containing the essential skills your team needs to navigate a lean transformation.